want to say thank you again to the church here for letting me and Jacob and Audrey come and be a part of this activity of worship with you. It's been a blessing. I appreciate the Curry and Sister Shana putting up with me and my bunch and feeding us and housing us, and just all of you for your love. I've appreciated it. It's been good for me to be here to get to worship with you, to hear Brother Ricky, just to delight in the common salvation.
Yes.
And to delight in that we have together, to worship together, to go up together into the house of the Lord. Covet your prayers this afternoon for me and for Brother Ricky as well. Have your Bibles with you. I ask that you turn with me to the 26th chapter of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 26. I want to look at a particular verse in this passage. Proverbs 26, verse 17 says this: "He that passeth by and meddleth with strife belonging not to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears." He that passeth by and meddleth with strife belonging not to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. We live as sinners in a world of sinners. And if we don't apply, which we often don't apply, the bond of perfectness, which is charity, strife is going to exist. And so strife does exist. Because we, as sinners, living in a world of sinners, tend to not approach things very often the way God has instructed us to approach things. And so as a result, strife's everywhere.
Right.
Strife comes in a lot of different forms. There's overt strife. There's passive-aggressive strife. There's the a strife of insinuation. There's strife between people. There's strife between family. There's strife between churches. There's strife between, you name it, and there's strife. We live in a world that is full of strife. And one of the things that's happened in this world that we live is there's a lot less private and a lot more public.
Right.
Social media, in all of its various insidious formats, has allowed almost everything that anybody thinks to be open for public consumption.
Right.
And so much of what we think these days is strife. Now the writer of Proverbs has given us a particular proverb that relates to that. It says, "He that passeth by and meddleth with strife belonging not to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ear." Now first of all, let's rightly divide the word of truth. He didn't say, "He that passeth by and meddleth with difficulty." We live in a world that has a lot of difficulty in it as well. But there's a specific commandment that's given to us in regards to difficulty. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." And then verse 2 says this: "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." When we see difficulties, there is an obligation upon us to attempt to help each other with the difficulties that come in life. There's also such a thing as perhaps one-sided strife, you might say. The same writer, or the same book, over in Proverbs chapter 31, verse 8, says this: "Open thy mouth for the dumb, those that cannot speak, in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction." Now, there's some implied strife there, isn't there? It's kind of a one-direction strife, though, isn't it? It's someone who's appointed to direction and can't speak for themselves. A wonderful example of that would be the case of abortion. Now, the pulpit isn't a place for politics, but some things aren't politics.
Amen.
Some things are morality.
Amen.
That subject, I don't need to give you any of my opinions on, taxes or immigration or, you know, name 100 different things that are purely political. That subject's not one.
Right.
That subject's moral.
Right.
And God didn't give us I don't need to say anything about that out clause, because there he just said, open your mouth in the cause of all those, the dumb, that can't speak for themselves, that are appointed to destruction. Now, that's a one-directional strife that I have and you have an obligation to speak on. So we're not talking about that as well. He says, he that passeth by and meddleth with strife, that belongeth not to him. When two parties are at odds with each other and have strife between them, is what he's talking about. And he says the results of that are like one that taketh a dog by the ears. He said, what's that expression mean? That expression is not a friendly expression. What that means is, if you walk up to a stray dog on a street somewhere, and you grab a hold of that dog and begin to twist his ears and tug on his ears, you know what's going to happen? You're going to get bit. And it's going to hurt. You're going to be wounded in the process because you grabbed hold of a dog by the ears. One of the most vivid scriptural examples of this is found over in the Old Testament. If you would turn with me over to 2 Chronicles chapter 35, you'd find Joash, or Josiah. It says in verse 20, after all this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, Necho, king of Egypt. All right, so we have one character over here, Necho, the king of Egypt. He came to fight against Carchemish by Euphrates. Are either one of those two names Josiah? No. You've got Necho over here, and he's going to fight against Carchemish. Well, Josiah says, I want to get in the middle of this. He prepares his army. He's going to go out and fight Necho as well. Necho sends him a message and says, What do I have to do with thee, thou king of Judah? Basically, what is any of this any business of yours? And we find out later that what he's saying was coming from God. We find in verse 22, it says it came, the words of Necho from the mouth of God. He says, I come not against thee this day, but against the house whereupwith I have a war. My fight's with Carchemish, that's who my strife is with. What are you even getting involved with? And he said, forbear thee from meddling with God who is with me, that he destroy thee not. Well, Josiah ignores what he tells him, disguises himself, and it says in verse 23, that the archers shot at King Josiah, and the king said to his servants, have me away, for I'm sore wounded. They take him in a chariot, and he goes back to Jerusalem, and he dies. Why? Because he'd taken the dog by the ears. He had meddled in a situation that was not his, that didn't belong to him at all. He had gotten involved, and it had caused him to be bitten. He got bit so bad that he died. Because he meddled with strife that belonged not to him. Now, because of the lack of anything being private anymore and everything being public, it's easy to meddle with strife.
Yeah.
You know, these days, meddling, and what is meddling? Meddling is inserting our opinion and inserting our comments in a place where it's just not needed. You know how easy it is to meddle in strife now? You literally can meddle in strife with just a few clicks of the keyboard now. Share. Boom. All of a sudden, you've just put your opinion on something. You've inserted your comment into whatever strife is going on that you read, and in that moment you thought, well, they need the benefit of my opinion. Well, I tell you, I've discovered something in 40 and a half years that I am still discovering. And that is that most everybody I know needs much less of Adam Green's opinions than I thought they did 15 years ago. I suspect 15 years from now I will discover it even farther that they need much less of my opinions, particularly in matters that involve their strife. Now, you say, well, Brother Adam, the Bible says in the book of Matthew, blessed are the peacemakers. blessed are the peacemakers. Well, it doesn't say blessed are the meddlers. It says blessed are the peacemakers. And you say, well, can you be a peacemaker without meddling? Yes. If something is brought to you and you're not meddling, you've asked to be engaged in it, you can very quickly either be a peacemaker or a meddler. When something that's not your strife is brought to you, and somebody says, and they just have to fill your ears with the strife they're engaged in, you can very quickly either be a meddler or a peacemaker. Mm-hmm. Now, a meddler is going to do this. A meddler, we don't intend to be, but a meddler is going to insert our opinion into the subject. You ever done that? Mm-hmm. You know, so-and-so's upset at somebody else, and they just got to talk to you about it. And you really don't want to get involved, but you don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. And so you listen to what they have to say. And then you come to a crossroads in that moment of silence when they look at you and expect to you to have some kind of a response. And you can make a choice right there to either be a peacemaker or to be a meddler. And as benign as it might sound, well, I understand that you have every reason to be upset. That's meddling. Because what did you just do?
Yeah.
You just became a tale bearer of their tale back to them.
Right.
The Bible says over in the 20th verse of this same chapter, he says, where no wood is, the fire goeth out, so where there is no tale bearer, the strife ceases.
Yeah.
It stops. Why? Because there's nothing to add to the churning of it. What does a peacemaker do? A peacemaker refers the individual back to the Word of God. God has something to say for someone who is offended, and God has something to say for someone who believes they have offended somebody else.
Right.
You're going to be dealing with one of the two types of persons. Either somebody is saying, I'm really upset at so-and-so, or I got a feeling so-and-so is upset with me. Either way, God's told him what to do in the Word of God. And he has said, go to your brother. Go to the offender and talk to him. That's what a peacemaker does. It points them back to Christ. Points them back to the ultimate peacemaker. Now, one of the things, you know, you young folks that are here in the congregation this morning, listen to me. It's important to learn at a young age that not everything is your business.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and not everybody else's drama needs to belong to you.
Right.
I remember my little sister Sarah coming home from school one day when she was in the 11th grade and she was going to a local high school there. And she came in the door and Mom said, Sarah, how was the day? And Sarah went, oh, drama, drama, drama. It's because that was her view of the world around her. We'll have to be engaged. We can choose to simply not meddle and be involved in other people's strife.
Amen.
Not on the internet, not in person, not in phone conversation, not in text conversation, not through email, not on message boards, not on Twitter, not on fill in the blank. We can choose not to meddle in other people's strife. One of the worst experiences of my adult life was when there were two individuals whose marriage had fallen apart. And I was eating lunch with a couple of guys one day, and they had commented on what Party A had done that was wrong, and it just sounded, you know, horrifically one-sided. And so I decided that this conversation needed the benefit of my perception of Party B. So I said, well, there's another side to that story, and I blah, 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 threw that out there. But once it got three or four rounds around back to Party A,
yeah.
First of all, what I said had been twisted completely out of truth. But the other thing was, one of the relatives of Party A was someone who was a good personal friend of mine. Thankfully, that individual had enough character to sit down with me and say, "Why are you even commenting?"
Yeah.
You know, and was gentlemanly enough to work it out. What had I done? By opening my big mouth, I had meddled with strife that didn't belong to me. I'd meddle with strife that didn't belong to me. We may think we're doing all the good in the world, but God says when we pass by and meddle with strife that doesn't belong to us, we're like one that taketh a dog by the ears.
Yeah.
Now, I was teasing Audrey one day about the proclivities of young ladies that are her age to dramatic entanglements. How'd I do there, Brother? Was that? All right. Gone, draw. And I was teasing her that, my goodness, there always seems to be something going on with your age group. And she looked at me and she said, Daddy, there is no drama like preacher drama. And I thought about that, and I had to agree with her that was true. You know, when I was in my 20s and ordained, I'd get on these message boards and I thought everybody needed to know what I thought about what was going on everywhere. I hadn't been on a message board in years, Brother Rick, because my hands have got so many scars on them by being bitten by the dog. I finally decided, you know what? Folks in Alabama don't need Adam Green's opinion on anything. And one of the things I've learned in observing the church is when there's a problem, you know who is best suited to handle the problem? The folks who are right there local. Can I pick on you, Brother Ward? If all of a sudden, I figured that was the safest bet, that you were farthest away from the door, the window, if I got out that side. If Brother Ward all of a sudden starts playing around with the divinity of Mary, how's that? Some of that starts coming up in his preaching. Do you know who's best able to handle the situation with Brother Ward? You've got several of them in this room. It's not me. It's not Brother Ricky. Because they know the real situation with Brother Ward. It might be that Brother Ward is just a flaming rebel who needs to be, sat down and not heard from for another 5 years. Or it could be that Brother Ward just overreacted to something and these brethren know it. If they just work with him for, a couple, 3 months, they get him lined back out again. If I come over here and start getting on the internet and, putting out my great high and mighty opinions as I've been prone to do in past years, or come over here to Indian Oaks and just rail away about, the preacher of that minister that y'all have in the area and his position on the divinity of Mary. You know what that's going to do? That's going to be me meddling in strife that belongs not to me.
Right.
And God says, don't do it. Because you, brethren, are better able to handle Brother Ward and his untrue doctrinal issue, that there be any confusion there, made up and imaginary doctrinal issue, than I ever could throwing some rock from a long ways away. He that passeth by and meddleth with strife belonging not to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. And sometimes that dog will bite hard. Sometimes family relationships are ruined because somebody gets in the middle of other people's strife. Sometimes church relationships are ruined because somebody got in the middle of somebody else's strife. And what happens? The dog bites, and there are wounds, and there's blood, and there's scars. Now, I told Brother Ricky I was going to be real brief today. I'm going to keep my promise. There was a man one time who knew this verse, knew the truth of it far more than you and I ever will. And knowing the consequences, he did it anyway. He passed by. And when he passed by, the time was a time of blood. And he looked at enmity that by its origin did not belong to him. Not through decree, not in any way, form, or shape whatsoever. enmity that was created by man between man and God the Father and God's holy law. And he meddled to the point that he said, let that enmity become mine. That man was Jesus Christ. He knew the enmity. He knew the cause of the enmity. He also knew the end result of the enmity. And Christ got involved directly. You know what? The truth of this proverb was meted out fully upon the head of Jesus Christ.
Right.
He was bitten. He was bitten. And he suffered and bled and died. Why? Not for strife that belonged not to him, but for strife that originally belonged not to him, if you'll let me say it that way. At that by covenant, he assumed the complete responsibility of it. Because we were enemies, Romans 5 tells us. And we were enemies, and we are reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Christ did it, not blundering through the way you and I do it, but he did it knowing exactly what the consequences would be. He said, Father, that enmity that is theirs because of sin, let it be mine. I'll place myself in the position of being the daysman. I'll place myself in the position of being the mediator. And therefore, I'll place myself in the position of being the sacrifice. And he did. And all the thunderous horrors of the law came down upon the head of Jesus Christ. He suffered every ounce of that which was due us. He was bitten, and he suffered and bled and died. But as a result, that enmity's gone. That enmity's buried. That enmity exists no more. But that enmity exists no more because Christ engaged himself, and Christ took it upon himself. Now, he's God, and he did so with the wisdom and love of God. He did so when he did it. He did it by covenant, and he did it because it was right and good. We need to follow the command of Scripture and to avoid those cases and meddling with strife that does not belong to us. Not a single one of us are Jesus Christ. Not a single one of us can put away sin by the sacrifice of ourselves. May God help us to follow his direction. I love you. Come see us in Arkansas. I'd love to see every one of your faces this year in August. But know that I love you and that I appreciate the opportunity to have been here and worship with you.